Good ideas are like red wine. They need time in the cellar for refinement. Here's where I keep mine. Welcome to 55 Degrees. Welcome to my first episode on my new personal podcast. It's a new addition to the content that I keep here on 55degrees.us. And if you're new to me, I'll tell you more of my story along the way. And if you're new to my site and wonder what the name means, 55 degrees is considered cellar temperature. If you dig down in the earth deep enough, you'll find the ambient year-round temperature will be right around 55 degrees. It's the perfect environment to allow things like red wine and blue cheese to rest and develop. Put a certain tannic wine at 55 degrees, and in a few years, it will be a completely different wine experience. And I like this word picture and relate it to the development of thoughts and ideas. Sometimes a good idea needs to sit for a spell to allow it to refine and improve. And I've been writing a personal blog for about 15 years, and writing has been my primary means of communication of thoughts and ideas, along with occasional music and now poetry. But I'm starting something new today, and I don't know where this is going to lead, but who knows what the future holds. But it fits in line with one of my core missions in life, and that is I want to use my voice to help you hear yours. And for years, it's been through the written word, and I want to expand that now to the spoken word because I love engaging conversation, but this COVID disruption has put a major damper on these opportunities. Hopefully, these episodes will kickstart that conversation when we can gather again without the plague of uncertainty. My topic of this first episode, I call it The Paradox of Circumstances. Because we are in an incredible, unprecedented time of my lifetime. The entire planet has been affected by this virus called COVID-19. It's upset the entire world economy. It's disrupted jobs, futures, and a certain way of life for all of us. No sports, no movies, no gathering for church. And I think disruption is putting it mildly. And I've been thinking a lot about this in my current situation, my current circumstances of being widowed, unemployed, bankrupt, loss of business, and most recently, the loss of my mom, also due to cancer. My last 4 years have not been easy, but I have made some choices in the last 4 years that have made a massive difference in my current mindset today. And I want to use this as the subject to kick off my first podcast episode. One thing I do miss due to the shutdown is the opportunity to have long conversation in my favorite place being my backyard, also known as the sanctuary or the portico to some. So think of this as a substitute for that setting. I use the word paradox because it is an important word to me. I believe it's a word that contains wisdom that has been lost. A paradox is the existence of two contradictory statements within the same situation. Take, for example, the proposition of leadership. To lead and to lead effectively, one really must know how to serve others. And my friend Ian, who owns a wood shop, he knows the challenge of running a small business. And when people say, wow, you have 20 people working for you, he says, no, I work for 20 people. He understands that paradox of being a leader and being a servant. We're all facing the paradox created by this global pandemic, but I don't think we're using the wisdom of paradox to derive any solutions. The problem lies in applying either or solutions. Paradox is always with us. Every coin has two sides. There are two sides to every story. And an available positive spirit to oppose the other negative one. Where there is fear, courage is ready and available to step up. And I've applied and pondered this wisdom for years, and it comes from the wisdom of Solomon, said to be the wisest man to ever live. I discovered this proverb on Paradox many years ago, and it states like this: "It is good to grasp the one and not let go of the other. The person who fears God will avoid all extremes." And he's instructing the listener here to see the value in paradox, grasping the one while at the same time holding on to the other and not letting go. This is an ancient idea that I believe is applicable to today. Because problems aren't always easy or simple to solve, especially the bigger they get and the more people they involve. As easy as an either-or, black-or-white solution is, it won't work dealing with social relationships, especially something as massive as the pandemic. And this is extremely foreign because it cuts directly against the spirit of the age. And what I mean by this term is simply this: it's a commonly held sentiment or value. When I was in college, there was a strong spirit of indulgence in the 80s. Greed was high. Graduates could find jobs that would net lots of money right out of college. So that influenced the culture and thus was the spirit of the age back then. But that has since shifted. I see it shifting from greed now to anger, and you don't have to look very far to see that there's so much pent-up anger in our culture today. And it's this anger that makes the notion of embracing paradox unfathomable. There's no grasping the one and not letting go of the other. There's no dialogue, no exchange of ideas, only dividing and conquering. And we're here because we were led here. Our politicians now are purely partisan. Social media reinforces the spirit of the age. It's just an outlet for more and more anger. Any leadership that buys into the spirit of anger will not lead effectively. To counter the spirit of the age requires an opposite spirit that cuts against that anger and renders it exposed. We need leaders with a stable sense of thoughtfulness, a security of idea, and a heart and mind grounded in wisdom, and these are in very short supply. Take the mask controversy, for example. On the one hand, you have personal choice and freedom, versus the other, the broader concern for public health at large. And these are paradoxical ideas, even though many would say there aren't. Some would just say one's crazy and one's right. They are paradoxical in that they are both right for many different people and for many different reasons. And since our social conscience has no room for paradox, the only obvious choice that feels right is to divide and conquer, led blindly by the rampant anger that pervades our culture. And instead of taking the time to contemplate the opportunity of the paradox and the possibility it presents, choices then begin to devolve. So I grasp the one, which is my position, and then I drop and let go of the other. And in order to justify my position, I don't present my case. I just dismiss the other side. And now I've created an us-them condition. And a division of this kind will never heal. And solutions will never be found. The only possible outcome is annihilation of the other side that I disagree with. But if I take Solomon's wisdom and apply it, how would that change things? How do I grasp the one and not let go of the other? How do I avoid all extremes? Well, knowing that all social change involves a paradox, there's the clash of these two extremes. One, the individual responsibility, that is my rights, my freedoms, my choices, versus the other side, collective responsibility, fighting together for a greater good. And so which is it? And the answer is yes, both are true. Because if we're going to address the pandemic, global pollution, human trafficking, racism, and so on, the solution is by nature paradoxical. It's both my responsibility and it is our responsibility. And I must grasp my role I play and not let go of the need for collective responsibility. For example, if I believe that climate change is the biggest threat to the future of humanity, but take no action because I think I can't make a difference as an individual, then I've dropped the wisdom of Solomon. I've only grasped the one and I've let go of the other. How am I approaching the paradox of circumstances caused by the shutdown? How am I grasping the one and not letting go of the other? Well, on the one hand, I realize this is a scary, uncertain disease. And on the other hand, so is cancer, diabetes, car accidents, suicide, and we've somehow managed to live with that. So how do I grasp the one and not let go of the other? I grasp the fact that there's much loss of work and income. How will families survive and feed their kids? And on the other side, the loss of life. If I'm alive, I can probably get another job, but you won't get your dad back if he dies. Grasp the one, not let go of the other. And I think this is the very first step before speaking out. Think, grasp both, don't let go of either one. Admiral gave me a good word in the panic of my bankruptcy a few years ago. I'm in the midst of the worst time of my entire life, and he acknowledged that. He was very good at pointing out, yeah, it's going to be hard. Going to have some sleepless nights. Anxiety is going to be high. But he would not let me let go of the other. We're going to get through this. He helped me hold on to that. And he went so far to say, you know, down the road a little ways, we're going to have a beer and we're going to talk about this and we're going to laugh because we got through it. And he was exactly right. We had that beer and we had that conversation. And it took somebody, though, to help me hold both. Because I was getting lost in the one, and I was about to let go of the other. I had an epiphany on Tuesday, November 22nd, 2016, and it was a very personal spiritual encounter, and I'll talk more about these kinds of things in future episodes. And I had an encounter with God that day, and he gave me a picture. See, I process truth through visual images, not numbers, figures, statistics. And I'll describe that more later also. But in the picture, I was in a desert and needed to go somewhere. And I saw in the distance what looked to be an abandoned train station. As I walked toward it, and I went around to the back, and I saw an old hand car, the kind that you pump the lever to propel it. I stepped up on the handcar, and that's when I saw the problem. Down the railroad bed, as far as I could see, there was only one rail. The other one was missing. I was obviously unable to move the handcar down the tracks. I was stuck. Then all of a sudden, out of the sky, the other layer, or other rail, was lowered and set in place right next to the other. So it was complete. The handcar could now proceed smoothly down the tracks. And when I get these pictures, I write them down and look for meaning. This was the explanation that came. The existing track was my current circumstances, representing everything difficult and painful. I was stuck and going nowhere. The other track that was lowered in and set into place was God's presence. And he was not going to take away the crisis, but he was going to be right next to me. And it was his presence that allowed me to move forward. But if I was going to make progress, I would have to grasp the one and not let go of the other. I had to have both rails. I had to have my trials and circumstances, and I had his presence to make progress. And herein is the paradox of the opportunity that I'm facing, along with the rest of us. I must first grasp the gravity of my circumstances and not let go of the opportunities, improvements, and discoveries to be found in the midst of it. I had a friend recently say, you know, our kids missed out on all their spring activities, all the memories that it could have made. But, you know, our family is closer now, closer than ever before. Instead of running around to multiple activities all week, we stayed home and played games and cooked together and watched movies together and did crafts. They embraced the sadness of the loss, but at the same time, they grasped the gain that came as a result of the circumstance. Whenever I'm facing hardship, trial, or difficult circumstances now, I realize I cannot let go of hope, because it's always ready to counter despair. The bigger the despair, the bigger the opportunity for hope. And the converse is true. The more hopeful I become, the more despair wants to pull me down when something bad happens. Because the higher I go, the harder and farther I can fall. And that paradox is what the athlete Alex Honnold faces, the world's greatest free climber. In 2017, he scaled El Capitan all by himself without any safety protection in case he slipped. And you know that he certainly grasped the danger while not letting go of the massive accomplishment he was undertaking. He was not climbing it without considering the risk, because knowing the risk helped him stay more focused and not make mistakes. I think there's a huge obstacle that prevents us from embracing paradox, because paradox isn't rational or scientific, and we put a high value on that in our culture. Science likes clear-cut answers and solutions. Math has one right answer to the equation, but social equations do not. And this is where intuition needs to be included in order to create an essential paradox. I must grasp logic and reason and not let go of intuition and emotion. And I've experienced this my entire life, because I am an intuitive person and I never felt like my perspective had a place in my world. Facts were always used to dismiss feelings. What I feel doesn't matter. And if you're an intuitive person and listening to me, you'll get this. And it's not until recently in my midlife years that I've embraced the paradox. I had let go of my intuition instead of grasping it. And learning to live both from the heart and the mind, I've got to grasp both. Why does paradox make sense to me? Why do I think this way? Well, one, I'm not a scientist. I'm a poet. I'm an artist. Some would call me a mystic. And while I embrace the place of logic and reason, at the same time, I won't let go of my emotion and intuition any longer. This allows me to take a broad view of problems and situations. Here's a story on how I got this forged. I was raised in a family of no complaining. And this was drilled into me, especially at mealtime. My parents just had no room for complaining, because they were children of a Depression era. They had very little. And so to hear a child complain who had much, that really pushed their buttons. And I saw this play out when I went off to college. And you've heard of the freshman 10, the 10 pounds that you gain when you're in your first year of college because you're eating all that extra pizza late at night or you're eating all that unlimited cafeteria food. And while everyone complained about gaining weight, I decided to do something about it. And that's when I took up running. And I lost 10 pounds instead of gaining it. Because I was taught complaining gets me nothing, but I had to grasp the other. I was gaining weight, and I was the only one who could do something about it, and I did. When this whole COVID thing started, I was in Ireland in March, and I had to begrudgingly cut my trip 4 days early. I came home and stepped into quarantine, but instead of complaining, I've had enough training to grasp the opportunities in this circumstance. And so I got to work around my house, in my yard. I spent a lot of time alone as a kid, learning how to feed my creativity. I taught myself fishing, how to shoot a gun, built forts, huge treehouse, would ride my motorcycle for hours, all by myself. So in March, my childhood nature kicked in. And if you walk in my backyard, you can see it. Because I wasn't just going to sit around and complain and watch TV. I knew I had to grasp the other. As I get older, I'm narrowing my focus. I don't know how many days I have left, but at 57, I'm certainly on the back nine. And in my paradox in this pandemic shutdown, I have circumstances that are inviting me to stay on the dark side. I'm a recent widower, and this was not what I signed up for. I thought I was signing up for a long life together, not a midlife disruption. I lost everything I worked for, my businesses that I built. I went bankrupt and lost it all. My children are now grown, and they don't need me in the same way as a young child does. And in some ways, it feels like college all over again. And I remember that feeling when I was a senior, realizing, oh, I'm going to graduate, and I don't know what I'm going to do next year. Because in college, you have the security of where I'm going to be the next year. And that's an interesting place to be. And it's the paradox of my current position. What do I plan to do with the rest of my days? And grasping the one says, I better get busy and get back to work. While not letting go of the other says, take the risk. Press forward. Do something more. Dream bigger. Grasping the one says, I don't have much to my name. Not letting go of the other says, I don't have a lot of time left, and I want to invest it properly. And I'm finding I'm in a season I'm never going to get back. And time, like money, I can waste it, spend it, or invest it. And I want to get to the end of my day saying I'm glad I did, rather than I wish I had. There's another paradox that I've faced, and I call it the paradox of caregiving. See, my wife had her third diagnosis of recurring cancer on November 2nd, 2018, and her complications started soon after that. The disease was advancing, invading the kidneys and bowel, and she was in the hospital 2 months later. Fast forward to May of 2019, I lost my job, and now I'm faced with a new paradox of grasping the one. What do I do about work while not letting go of the other? What do I do about my wife? It's not clear-cut, and I can't approach it logically. So how did I know what to choose? Well, I knew I had to live in the tension. I knew her days were numbered. I knew medical costs might bankrupt me again. Who's going to hire a guy like me in my unpredictable circumstances? And I entered into the chaos, entered into the paradox, one that I would not take work until she passed. I chose to be fully present. I realize I'm not going to have a spouse eventually that I need to consider and provide for any longer. Then I'll be able to figure out what it means for me as a widower on my own. I began writing my book. I knew I needed something productive to keep my mind engaged. It wasn't a job per se, but it was something to do while I was grasping the one and not letting go of the other. I grasped onto a project that would allow me to not let go of the other of taking care of my dying wife. She wasn't fully homebound until October of that year, and I knew she could tank at any time, so I knew I needed something that would allow me the ability to do both. My schedule during that time was to get up, get her breakfast, get her settled. Then I would walk down to Scooters at the end of the street. I would work for a few hours and write. Lunch, I'd come home and check on her. If she was fine, then I would head back out to Code Brewing. And I'd spend my afternoons at Code writing until about 5. I treated it like a job. And I lived in this tension for 6 months, and then she passed. And a new paradox began. And I call it the paradox of recovery. There's the business side of death and all the decisions that have to be made in losing a loved one. And a big one is what to do with her things, her clothes, her shoes, all the shoes, all the items with a memory of her attached to them, like her books, her makeup, her hair dryer, combs of which I'll never need one. There's a paradox in managing all that. How do I move on? When do I move on? What's okay to get rid of? Is it too early? When will I know? I'm grasping the one in the pain of the loss of the one represented by this stuff, but not letting go of the other. You know, she's never coming back, and I got to deal with it someday. See, everyone has a different timetable on making the adjustments that come due to loss, and that's a personal decision only you can make. And there's the emotional work of recovery. And I just wrapped up 6 months of weekly counseling, and I just don't know how people do it without it. Because I'm grasping one, the last few years of our marriage was extremely difficult, dealing with cancer and everything, all the stress and challenges that it brought with it. But not letting go of the other, there were good times, and I have to hold those both. And I found myself vacillating between anger and guilt. And I've learned to embrace the paradox in these two points. Another paradox I'm facing in the circumstance of this shutdown is one, how to be generous and grateful in tight economic times. In times like these, it's easy to panic and adopt a mindset of poverty and scarcity and turn inward. And I've heard poverty defined this way, that poverty is less about economics and more about accepting and living with meager possibilities. And I know this is not a paradox everyone faces, but for me, I always want to live an abundant life and be known as a generous man. And this started for me way back in college. And I memorized this ancient proverb to keep me focused on this. And it says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. The wisdom shows that prosperity is tied to generosity. Money does not buy or guarantee prosperity. Prosperity is fueled by a generous and grateful spirit, not the bank account. One can have more money than they know how to spend and still live a miserly, impoverished life. Generosity is not limited to times of wealth. I can still be generous with much or little. It doesn't matter. So I grasp the one. Yeah, money doesn't grow on trees, and I'm not going to be able to do everything I wish and not let go of the other. I will be generous regardless. Well, I hope this sparks a new thought for you as you navigate lead yourself and others through this pandemic. And until we can gather around the fire or under the portico, this conversation will have to suffice. Consider it a conversation starter next time we get together, and let's see where this goes. Thanks for listening.